Okay. I always like to share Purim Torah. Not Purim Torah, that's fake, funny Torah. Torah about Purim. I would really always share the same, like, two ideas about Purim, because there's so many very meaningful ideas about Purim, but I tried this time to do something a little different. But that's, I think a very worthwhile message, and one that I think has a lot of relevance to where we are going into Purim. I don't remember ever seeing so many messages from so many organizations about the power of Tfilah Purim, the power of the mitzvot of Purim, the power of the day of Purim. It's always been true. It's not like it became a powerful yontif this year. Purim has always been a powerful yontif, but in a good way. And I guess we'll talk about it more in a second. It's nice to see that it's happened for obviously a bad reason, but it's nice to see us starting to understand it more. And I guess that's probably what we're going to talk about tonight. So if you take a look in source number one, there's a halacha that we know well. We've seen this halacha probably many times. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows. So this person is required to be besume, to whatever that means, get drunk on Purim until they don't know the difference between cursed is Haman and blessed is Mordechai. And then the Rama writes, "V'yesh omrim de'ein sarach liyashtaker kolkach." Right? The truth is, says the Rama, you don't have to really get that drunk. Ela sheyishte yoser min limudo. You just should just drink a little more than you are used to. So if you're used to drinking one cup of wine, you drink a second cup of wine. You don't have to drink so much. Just a little more than usual. Ve'yishan, and you should go to sleep. U'mitoch sheyashen en yodea bein. And once you're sleeping, you won't know the difference between your board chairs, I think. We got a few more? I think we need more chairs. A couple more. And because you're sleeping, you won't know the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. Okay. And it's a strange halacha. Right? First of all, the concept itself is strange. Fine. But the idea that it...
So why do you need to drink?
Why don't you drink? Just go to sleep. Just go to sleep. Just take a nap. Just take a nap. All right, just take a nap. So the reason for the drinking, by the way, the reason why, and people put out this year a reminder, the mitzvah is only wine. There's no mitzvah of hard liquor. It's because the entire story of Purim happens through wine. All right, so the reason there's an idea of wine and wine is related at all to Purim is because the entire story of Purim happens over wine feasts. That's the whole story, right? Why that is, what does that mean about wine? Right, wine reveals things that are hidden, etc., things like that. But the Rama is telling me that no, you don't have to really do that. You just drink a little. You have to drink, fine, and then you go to sleep. What's going to sleep? What does going to sleep have anything to do with Purim? Why is that something that matters at all? Okay, source number two. Source number two, the Shulchan Aruch writes. There are more sheets here. Thanks, guys. The Shulchan Aruch writes the following: Chayev Adam Likros Hamagilah Balayla VeLachzor VeNishnos Sevayom. You didn't miss anything. We just did the first. We just took a look at the first source that you gotta sleep on Purim. That's probably one of the halachos. You gotta drink a little bit and go to sleep. And then source number two: person has to read the Megillah during the night VeLachzor VeNishnos Sevayom. And then you have to do what the next day? You have to repeat it. You have to repeat it again the next day, right? So it's an important halacha to remember. You can't just listen to the Megillah at night. You have to listen to the Megillah night and day in order to fulfill the mitzvah. But the language, again, that the Shulchan Aruch uses, it's a language the Gemara itself uses, is a little funny also. Why is lachzor v'lishnosa bayom? I have to repeat it. There are other words that you could have said v'lachzor v'likrosa bayom. Right? V'lishnosa bayom. Another language, the same language of shena. Right, sleep. Why again sleep? Okay? And the truth is, the language of yashen, of sleeping, actually plays quite a significant role in the story of Purim itself. Source number three. V'lalalahu, nadada shnas hamelech. Maybe the most important moment in the Purim story happens when the melech can't sleep. Okay? Right, he tells them to bring the book, and they find out. Wait a second, the story about Mordechai, and did anybody ever do anything for Mordechai? It all happens. Why? Because the king can't sleep. Fine. And it actually goes even further than that. Source number four. Source number four.
The, we shouldn't sleep.
What?
I think we shouldn't sleep.
Oh, so then we shouldn't sleep. Good. So we shouldn't sleep. Just like the king couldn't sleep, we shouldn't sleep. Good. Like on Rosh Hashanah, when you shouldn't sleep, right? Fine.
Or maybe you'll learn a new Chiddush, which the...
By not sleeping?
By not sleeping, but by using sleep. Your time to
You'll stay
learn.
Up. Right, you'll stay up. Good. Okay. Source number four. Much early on in the story. Okay, the Haman sees that Mordechai doesn't, it's not Koreh, it's not Mishtachave, Vayamalei Haman Chemai is very upset, Vayivez Be'inav Lishloach Yav, and Mordechai Levado decides he's going to kill Mordechai, not just Mordechai, but the entire Am Mordechai, the entire nation of Mordechai, Vayavakesh Haman, Lashmidez Kol HaYehudim, Eshebechol Amachos, Achashverish, Am Mordechai, he wants to destroy them. That's Rabbi Willig, his Svarim, he calls them Am Mordechai, Rabbi Mordechai Willig, called Am Mordechai. But fine, Becholosh HaRishon, so he makes a lottery, and then we're told he goes to meet with Achashverosh. There's this nation, right, which is spread out amongst all of the nations. V'chol medinos ma'achusecha v'daseim shenos mikol ha'ametz v'daseim ha'melech enem osim v'la'melech en shovel ha'anicha. Right, there's this nation that spread out all over the place, and they don't listen to what the king says, and you should get rid of them. What's the language that he uses, that Haman uses to tell Achashverosh, or at least that the Megillah uses to tell us what Haman told Achashverosh? Yesh no am echad. Again, what? Yesh no? Yesh am echad. Yesh no? Why yesh no? Again, the language of sleep. Okay, the language of sleep. And the Gemara picks up on this. And the Gemara in source number 5 says the following. Yeshno amechad amarava leka di yada lishna bisha kahaman. There's no person who knows how to attack like Haman knows how to attack. Amarle tanach linu. Right? He said to them, he said to Achashverosh, let's destroy them. Amarle misafina me'alohav, because I'm afraid of their God. I'm just going to kill them. I'm afraid of their God. Lots of kings have tried to kill the Jewish people. And I know what happens to those people. I don't want to do that. I'm not interested in fighting with the kid, with the Melech, Malchi Amlochim, with this God of the Jews. So Amalei, Yeshno, Mina Mitzvos. Not Yeshno, but Yashnu. They are sleeping. They're sleeping from the Mitzvos. Amalei, Isbehu Rabbanan, Amalei, Amechadhin. So he says back to them, but they have sages who observe mitzvahs. And he says, no, they're one people, meaning they're all the same. Nobody's doing any mitzvahs. Right? So the Gemara already picks up on this language of yeshno am echad and darshins it to mean that yeshno, they are yeshenim, that Am Yisrael is sleeping from doing the mitzvahs. Also, very strange, right? They're sleeping from the mitzvahs. So what's going on here? So there's a person that I don't know, a rabbi. His name is Rabbi Mordechai Kornfeld. And he says, right, and he explains the pshat of this is as follows, right? What is the Gemara trying to say, right? Whether that means that Haman actually said this to Achashverosh, or Chazal are trying to again bring out what's really happening here, is that you don't have to worry about God. Why? Because as long as Am Yisrael is sleeping, right? What's the pshat? What's the answer? He said, I'm afraid of their God. He says, don't worry, they're sleeping from the mitzvahs. So why is that an answer to the question?
Because Hashem only protects them if they're following the mitzvahs.
So that must be the answer. The answer is, you don't have to worry about their God when they're asleep. Because once they're asleep,
their God's asleep.
Okay? Their God. Hashem tziocha ayad minecha. And Hashem is your shadow. The way we are, that's the way He responds to us. Right? When they sleep, He sleeps. Right? And we find this idea, right, obviously it doesn't really mean they're actually asleep. And the Gemara actually says that. Yashnu min ha-mitzvos. They're not really sleeping, but they're, we would call it out to lunch, right? They're not really zoned in. They're not alert. They're not focused on what they're trying to do. And the Gemara itself tells us that story, right? Source number 6. The Gemara Maseches Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, tells us, Shalom Tamidav Asher Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. They asked Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Why were the enemies of the Jewish people decreed upon they should be destroyed? So that's a euphemism. Sonei Shel Yisrael really means the Jews themselves. Right? Why did the Jewish people, why would they have a gzeira of being destroyed? So Amalahem Imratem. He says, you tell me. Okay? So Amalo, I'll tell you why, because they went to that party. And we talk about it a little bit on Shabbos, right? That they went to that party and Achashverosh is having a party which is celebrating the end of the 70 years. And Am Yisrael didn't go back, right? That's Kelim and Kelim Shonim. Right? That day the Medrash says that he came dressed in the begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Right? And they sat there and they didn't say anything. They probably didn't celebrate it. But they didn't say anything. They didn't stand up. They weren't they just kinda like, all right, we'll just like kinda like we'll make our way through. We'll leave us alone. We'll be like everybody else. It's fine. Right? Yeah. So the Gemara has other reasons also, right? So they Im Kain Shiva Shushan Yaragu Bachala Olam Kula Al Yaragu, so it should only be the Shushan people, the other ones went to the Suda. Fine, the Gemara has other reasons they bowed down to an idol, right? Other types of things that they did. But the bottom line is, this is the reason, and this is the reason that's always brought up by Chazal, right? This idea of them being involved in the Suda. But again, the idea of being involved in that Suda is not a total rejection of Torah and Mitzvos, but a sleepiness, right? And a lack of alertness, a lack of intensity, a lack of focus in terms of what they're supposed to be doing in life. Says the Gemara in source number 7. Haman mina Torah minayin. How do I know where I know Haman from? So Hamin ha'etz, that comes from the fact when God comes to Adam and Chava and he says, what did you do here? And he says, did you eat from that tree? Hamin ha'etz, did you eat from that tree? Right? So there's some shatim there about Haman, and Haman was a person who had everything in the world. What was the one thing he didn't have? He had everything. What was the one thing he didn't have?
Mordechai bowing down.
He had every Jew in Shushan bowing to him. He was the second in command in all of Shushan in the 127 provinces. He didn't have one. Yeah, but that guy won't bow down to me, right? So Hamin ha'etz is Adam and Chava had everything they could ever wanted. Right? They had one thing not to do. They couldn't do it. Right? They couldn't say, "Well, that's what, but I want it." So that's Haman Hamin ha'etz. Hamin ha'etz. But that's the side. What about Esther mina Tarminai? Where does Esther come from? Esther comes from because Anochi Haster Astir. Right? Esther comes from the idea of Hashem's going to hide his face from us. Right? Again, her name is Esther. Not, her name is not really Esther. Her name is really?
Hadassah.
Right? The Megillah calls her Esther. Right? Why is she called Esther? She's called Esther because it's a time of Hester Panim, the time that Kadosh Baruch Hu is hiding from us. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is, you might call him, sleeping, hiding away from Am Yisrael. Why? Because that's what we're doing. Right? And what happens? When does the story turn around? Right? When does everything change? Right? Everything changes in Perek Dalet, source number 8. In Perek Dalet, in source number 8, Vagila Mordechai Stiva Esther, Esther tells Mordechai, I can't go. I can't speak to the king. If I go speak to the king, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to be killed. If you go into the Chatzar Apnimis and you go there without permission, I'm gonna be killed. I can't do that. But Yomer Mordechai l'ashiv al Esther, and Mordechai responds to her, "Al tadamid b'nafshech, limalei beis hamelach." Don't think that you can just coast. Be called Yehudim. You're gonna hide, and no one's gonna notice you. Ki macharesh tacharishi ba'is hazos. If you're quiet now, revach ve'atzol yamola Yehudim makom acher. We're gonna have plenty of. Good, don't worry, we'll be fine. It's actually a beautiful response. He's not saying to her, if you don't do it, we're doomed. He says, if you don't do it, we'll be fine. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to save us anyways. Right? It's beautiful that like the emunah that Mordechai knows. And by the way, it's the same emunah you see projected today, which I think is very powerful. Right? We're not nervous that we're gone. We're not afraid of that. Why not? We know. We have it so, it's so a part of who we are. So Mordechai says the same thing. You don't go to him, it's not going to happen. Don't worry, we'll be fine. Right? Va'atu be'savich tavida, but you'll be lost. You have an opportunity, you're going to get lost. Umi yodeim la'ez kazos higas ha'mechos. And who knows? Maybe this is the reason why you became the queen. Va'tomer esta sheva yishol shiva. Mordechai, so what does she say back to him? Leich kenos is kol Yehudim hanim saim yishushan. She says to him, okay, fine. Get everyone together. Let's go. V'tsumu alai. And you're gonna fast for me. Don't eat, don't drink for three days. Laila vayom. Gamaniva narasaya tsum kain. I'm gonna do the same thing, meaning we're gonna fast and daven for you. And then I'm gonna go in front of the king without permission. If I get lost, I get lost. If I die, I die. But the bottom line is, I'm gonna daven for you. You're gonna daven for me. A different topic on about Purim, which is the power of davening for other people on Purim, because this whole story turns around because of the power of tefillah, not for themselves. Right? They daven each for each other in that moment. But fine. But what happens at that point? They finally say, okay, you know what? Get everyone together. It's time to wake up. It's time to focus. It's time to realize who we are and what we believe in and what we're here to do. That's our job, right? And what happens literally a few psukim later? Balala ahu, nadadosh nasana. All of a sudden, Am Yisrael starts to focus. Am Yisrael becomes more alert, more focused on what matters in life, what matters as Jews in the world. And all of a sudden, balala ahu, nadadosh nasamelech. And we know always that Hamelech always is the Ribbono Shalom. Right? That they wake up and he wakes up. Right? Source number 9 says the message Medrash in Esther Rabbah. Balaila hu nadadosh nas hamelech. Nadadu shamayim kiso shal melech machi amlochim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? What started to shake? What started to wake up? The throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shira es Yisrael b'tzara. He saw Klal Yisrael in danger. Yichi yeshan shen lifnei hamakom. It's like Gemara asked, what do you mean? How can it be? Shad doesn't sleep. Doesn't sleep. But rather, right, okay, but there are moments when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, is haster, aster, and moments when we are not yet ourselves awake. So what happens instead is the moment that Klal Yisrael starts to wake up, all of a sudden HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts to wake up and pay attention as well. So if that's true, maybe we can understand a little bit some of the questions that we started with, right? Why do we say that it's important for a person to fulfill the mitzvah of Chayiv Ilin Shebesumi Bepurya? How does a person fulfill that mitzvah of drinking on Purim? You don't have to really get drunk. You just have to drink a little bit and go to sleep. Right? Why? Because we have to remind ourselves of where the mistakes happen also. Right? We have to remind ourselves of where we started. We started off in a place of sleep. And the way that we get out of that is by waking up. Rav Shachter points out that if a person goes to sleep, like after the Purim Seudah, then they go to sleep, that's fine. That counts. It to be like a nap on Purim. But the idea being, it's time to, right? Time to, we start with a little bit of recognizing where we started. If you don't know where you came from, you can't know where you're going. Second of all, why do we say when it comes to reading the Megillah? A person reads the Megillah at night, the lachzor v'lishnosa bayom, and you repeat it again, Shena. You repeat it again during the day. Why? I don't know about you. When you read the listen to the Megillah at night, so especially this year, when you've already had something to eat and you won't be fasting, it's a little easier. The next morning, a little harder. It's boring already. We did it already. We do it again, right? We get like a little like we're a little bit like foggy. We're out of it, right?
It's new.
What?
It's new the first time.
It's new the first time, right? Exactly. It's exciting, right?
Forgot what happened.
You forgot how long it was. Also, you're like, oh, really? Okay. Right? You guys ever did that? Right? But in the morning, it's harder. And what's the avoda? Lachzor v'lishnosa bayom. To shake off the shena. Right? And to be more awake and to be more paying attention. Right? In that sense, the purpose of Purim, right? Purim itself, the goal of the day of Purim, the night and the day of Purim, is to provide that opportunity for Klal Yisrael to wake up. Right? To focus. Not that we were doing bad so much, we were doing averos. Right? But we weren't zoned in. We weren't aware of what we were supposed to do. There's a whole different piece to this story, by the way, a historical piece, right? Which is that the king before Achashverosh, Koresh, he actually gives Klal Yisrael, it's a big machlokas about how you understand who came when and the different kings and whatever, but everybody agrees that Koresh, who came before Achashverosh, gave permission for the Jews to go back to Eretz Yisrael. They had been given permission to go, and about 40,000 Jews, this is the Jews who were all living in Bavel and Persia and all those areas, they're given permission to go back. The 70 years are up. Right, that's why the party that Achashverosh has is the party of the 70 years, because it was up. Right, and Koresh had actually already given them permission to go back. And most of the Jews of the world stayed. They stayed in Persia. Rav Menachem Lipetak has a fascinating article where he talks about how there are certain words used in the Megillah They're all symbolic, right? So, for example, the word Shushan Habira There's only one other place that's ever called Habira in Tanakh. Yerushalayim. Right? There's almost an obsession in the Megillah with talking about the different levels of courtyards in the king's palace. The Chatzar HaPnimi, the Chatzar HaChitzoni, the Shar HaMelech. What's that about? Beis HaMikdash. If you go all the way into the Pnimi without permission, what happens to you? You die. Like what place, right? It's a fascinating amount of conversation that the fact that this entire story is about a Klal Yisrael who hasn't figured it out. And they're just kind of slogging along and have kind of lost their way and forgot where they're supposed to be. And they haven't yet. And in the meantime, what happens, there's something that's happened in the meantime is that Koresh gives them permission to go back to Eretz. So they start building the second base of Mikdash. Actually, they start building the walls of Yerushalayim. And there's a letter sent, found in the other part of Tanakh. There's a letter sent by the Aseres B'nai Haman and Achashverosh to stop the building of the walls of Yerushalayim. Right? There's a no building. It's going to incite the neighbors, you know. No, you can't build in Eretz Yisrael, right? So it's amazing, right? And the people are stuck in this funny middle place. Should we go? Should we not go? We don't know. And there's a lot of confusion, but also a lot of, and it takes time to Ezra and Nechemiah get more and more people to finally come and to go back to Eretz Yisrael. It takes them a while to finally get up and go. But this is the whole story of Am Yisrael in the historical context actually makes perfect sense. There are those who argue also that line, I'll show you that also, is really cool actually, that this line that Haman says to them, Haman says to Achashverosh, he says, if you look in source number 4 again, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down. Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Haman leMelech Achashverosh. Yeshno Am Echad Mefuzer Mefur Ben Amim VeMechomedinos Ma'achusecha. Vidatem Shanos Mikol Am. Right? They don't. They're different than everybody else. Vesdatei HaMelech Inam Osim. Well, we always have this. We like when the Melech is God is Hashem. When it's God couldn't sleep. We're the Melech is Hashem, right? Well, it says also Vidatei HaMelech Inam. They don't listen to the Melech, right? So some point out also, maybe that's, right? That's what there's a symbolism there. And there's almost to the point where Liebtag argues almost like a satire. The whole story is almost like Lahavdil, an animal farm for, the Soviets. So this is it's a satire on Am Yisrael at that time. At the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, right? Only a year or two later after the Purim story, Chevra, do you see what's happening? Encouraging them, see what this was? What this was messaging to us? Right? Wake up. Wake up. Be more focused. Right? And it gave them, in Purim, was this opportunity, even though it was terrible, right? Was this opportunity, in a certain sense, for Klal Yisrael to wake up and get more focused. And realize what really mattered. Lechnos kol Yehudim. And fast. And daven. For each other. And unite. Not to be mefuzer mefu rabin amim. But to be united in what their purpose is, right? And that's how they turn it around. That's how they turn it around. And that's really, in the end, what Purim is really all about. And that's why, by the way, of course, it ends up with Kimu v'kibul ayudim, that they Kimu mash v'kibul kfar, as a renewed Kabbalah Satorah. Why now specifically by Purim? Why is Purim the moment of a renewed Kabbalah Satorah? Because again, now they became more focused. Oh, right, this is what we're supposed to do. Now I'll start the daf, right? There's a sense of, I get it now. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know who I'm supposed to be. And now I'm zoned in. And now I'm ready to go. Right? They can't say Hallel because they still are dying Avdei Achashverosh Anan. Right? We're still living in Persia at that time. So it's not a full Geula. Right? But it's a waking up of the people that really Hashem, instigates in a certain sense. But it only happens when they do it themselves. Right, when they themselves are ready to do it, and they themselves are ready to focus, and when that happens, now you have a different story, and now they're ready to move forward. And what's the move forward? By the way, the story after is that they do eventually go back. Many of them, or they do go back there, so they do focus, they do realize where they're supposed to be, and they do become more focused. So, but I want to show you one or two more other points, but all related to the same idea. Our one of the most famous lines from the Megillah, source number 10, Like who the Ma'isa Ora v'Simcha v'Sos and Nikar? Why is it so famous? It's so famous to us because Abdullah. It's the thing we say at Abdullah, right? Why do we say Abdullah? I don't know. It's a different share, I guess. I don't have a shot for that. But it took me like, I remember as a kid, I was like, what is that? Like everyone says it so fast, you know? So at some point I found out what it meant, you know? But I was like, oh, it's from over here. But says the Gemara, like who the Ma'isa Ora v'Simcha v'Sos and Nikar? I'm reviewing Huda Ora Zutora. Simcha Zayantif. Sason Zumila. Vikar Elutfilin. It's very beautiful. Torah is light. Simcha is Yantif. Sason is Vrismila. And Yikar, right, is like a special, like, you know, like reverence or whatever. So it's reference in the Tefillin. So Sfasemis has a very simple kasha. Sfasemis says, I don't understand. He says, if Ora Zu Torah, just say, La Yehudim Haisa, Torah, V'yamtif, V'mila, U'tfilin. I have to tell me code language. Give it to me straight.
Well, the whole thing is code language.
Well, right.
Ah, good. So, okay. So one answer is, the whole thing's a symbol, right? The whole thing's symbolic. Fine. It's like poetry, right? That's one shot. But the Sfasema says no. He says no, because that's the chap. What's the point of Purim? The point of Purim is to remind myself that Torah is not just Torah. It's my light. It lights my life. Right? That simcha, what's simcha? Simcha is not some, I don't know, vacation somewhere. Simcha is yantif. Right? Sason is mila. Yikar, what's the thing that's most valuable to me in the world? That's yakar. It's my tefillin. Right? It's referencing the same focus. What the Chazal are telling us is that that's the moment that they started to, again, this moment they started to realize, right, what really matters to them and the things that really make a difference. And they became, they opened the next box.
What I was going to say is that's also very consistent with, let's say, the themes of Yeshaya, where he's, the criticism that he's leveling against the B'nai Yisrael, especially in the early Prakim, is that shout out to Navi Sher, which is where I learned this. Yeah. But the idea that they were going through the motions. It was, and Hashem was criticizing them, or the Navi was criticizing them.
Not for doing Averos.
It's not for doing Averos. Right. It's that you're bringing Karbanos, but you don't really care.
Lama li rov zivchechem, Amar Hashem. Right? I don't need it for. Just going through. I don't need this. I'm not interested in this. That's perfect. That was a perfect segue into source number 11. Perfect. Thank you. Set it up. We didn't set it up ahead of time. I promise. It's the Mishnah in Maseches Menachos. And this Mishnah is quoted, you'll see in a second where it's quoted. But this Mishnah says the following. Nemar ba'olas ha-behema. It actually fits nicely where Parshas Vayikra also. Nemar ba'olas ha-behema ishe riach nichoach. When a person gives an olas behema, a behema that they burn totally, right? The Torah says, it's riach nichoach la'Hashem. Hashem is sweet smelling to Hashem. It's funny also because it probably doesn't smell so good. Well, maybe it's a bit like barbecue. But okay. Oh, but also, oof, that for sure doesn't smell good. You burn a whole bird, it smells terrible probably. Uba mincha, right? When a person brings a flower offering, well, there's a big difference between a behema, an oaf, and a mincha. What's the difference?
The cost.
Cost. Behema is very expensive, oaf is less expensive, mincha is very little, right? And all three of them, it says the same thing. Yishei reich nichoach la'Hashem. Why does it say that? L'lamed she'echan amar b've'echan amamit. I don't care exactly how much you do or how much you spend. U'bilvad she'echavin adam es daito l'shamayim. Others say, p'cham she'echavin es libo l'shamayim. This concept is quoted in one specific place and only one place in all of Shulchan Aruch. It's quoted in the halacha with which we began. Chayav inish l'besume. Person drinking on Purim. That's where the Ramah quotes this mission of Maseches Menachos, obviously in the context of drinking, it's very relevant. Right? Person should do things carefully and thoughtfully and not like it's not an excuse to be an idiot. It should be done l'shem shemayim. But I find it fascinating that of all of the you know, Yom Tovin with which it is associated specifically with the Yom Tov of Purim. Because Purim, again, is the same idea. It's about focus. It's about am I focused on the things that matter in my life? And the Sechobos al Talmid, the Piyazetz Rebbe, writes in source number 12 the following. Gam kol isha sher ish Yisrael a'ich shehu. And the Sechobos al Talmid, with the Piyazetz, the Piyazetz was the Rebbe of the Warsaw Ghetto. So he spends a lot of time talking about the midos that a ben Torah has to work through, and it goes through all the sur meira, all the bad things. Princes get out of their way. It shouldn't be a bal gaiva, and it shouldn't be lazy, and all these different things. And then he turns it on to the positive, and he says, "Gam kol yish Yisrael eich shehu kemat I efshalo liyos Yisrael oved Hashem b'leiv yavesh ubenefesh yishena utzmuna." If you want to be able to be an oved Hashem, it's impossible if my heart is dry, if my soul is sleeping. If I'm asleep, say it's not going to work. Right? It can only come if I wake myself up. It doesn't mean that we're always going to be excited all the time. Some halachos are not exciting. Some mitzvot are not exciting. That's always going to be true. But if I'm awake and I'm alert and I'm passionate and I know what matters and I feel like it's a privilege to live a life of Avodas Hashem, so then I'm gonna then I have a chance. Then I have a chance. So the kasha is, I'm giving you a shiur about the purpose of Purim is to wake us up, and to make us alert, and to make us focus on what matters in life, and focus on what matters is Ovdei Hashem, and what it means to be a Jew. And you tell me, we don't need the wake up. We don't need it. There's a rabbi in the city, his name is Rabbi Kosgrove. He's a conservative rabbi, one of the biggest shuls in the country. And he wrote an article called The Awakening of the Jew. Right, that was happening in October, November, December, especially happening where Jews have been less connected. Right? We do not need this year an awakening. Right? We know exactly what it means to be a Jew, and they're reminding us if we don't know. And we've been locked in, right, in more ways than before, many of us, right? Koach HaTfilah, the power of Achdus, the value of Achdus, what it means to be proud, to be a Torah Jew, to be unapologetic about it. That is something that we are activated in a way we have not been activated before. However, I would argue, good, so that makes us even more prepared for what Purim is supposed to be. There's been a lot of talk the last few weeks, and the rabbi, I'm not a rabbi, I'm not actually in so many rabbi chats. All my friends are rabbis, so I'm in, I guess, a lot of rabbi chats, but I'm not. Very good. But there are even more rabbi chats that I actually don't participate in. But there's a lot of talk about, like, what should we do this year for Purim? It's a war. Is it appropriate to be having Purim? You shouldn't have Purim. And, right? And there's a lot of, like, conversation about this. And I'm going to show you what Rabbi Leibowitz wrote this in an article in Torah a couple of days ago. And I really liked what he said, because I was having a hard time with this, and I was glad to see what he wrote. He wrote the following. It should be the last source on your sheet. Many of the great rabbanim of our generation have already been consulted on this question. This is the middle of this article. Of course, all agree that the mitzvot hayom must be performed properly. No one's questioning you can do the mitzvot of Purim. And that we should avoid extreme behaviors that are in poor taste. That's true every year. But the gray area in between is fairly significant. Ironically, it seems that the majority of the Israeli rabbanim have been emphasizing the need to experience simcha with a full heart. Someone told me that they spoke to Rav Asher Weiss, and he was talking to a soldier. Rav Asher Weiss lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he was talking to a soldier, and he said he came out of Gaza, and he saw everyone's, like, in cafes, and, like, riding their bikes, and, like, it's like, it's like I walked out of Gaza, and the world, for the most part, in the center of the country, is pretty normal. And he said, it didn't make me upset. It made me happy. He said, because if I would have come out of Gaza, and I would have seen that everyone is still a mess, and life is not continuing as normal, I'd ask myself, what in the world am I fighting terrorists for? I want to fight terrorists so people can live normal. So Rav Asher Weiss said, so Purim should be normal. Right? That's not, we don't win by making Purim, you know, not so much. It's not sensitive. No, that's the way we show just how much the Chayalim are doing for us, right? That was the Israeli response, okay? American Rabbanim, many of the leading American Rabbanim and Gedolim have been emphasizing the importance of tempering our celebrations in light of the Matzav. Upon reflection, these competing reactions, I think this is very interesting social commentary, I like it, are not surprising. In Israel, where fear and concern are the constant companion of the people, it is important to emphasize the need to celebrate. In America, and Chutz Laaretz in general, where there's a tendency to slip back into our normal routines and patterns of thought and behavior, it's important to emphasize the need to be ever mindful of the continuing Esau, which I think makes a lot of sense, right? Each group is responding to the challenge of their own group, right, of their own society. So he goes, I'm therefore not certain that the Israeli community should be seeking the guidance of American rabbis, or vice versa. Right? And it's like, oh, you know, the Rosh Hashanah said it's fine, right? No. Or with regard to how to celebrate Purim this year. Fine. But I like what he says next. I would like to be Ola Ashulch Ma'al Ashulch Malachim, the following suggestion in striking the appropriate balance. Perhaps our avodah this year should be to experience the most authentic and genuine Purim that we can. Let us take those elements of our normal Purim experience that are based on the Chazal and experience them in the fullest way possible. At the same time, there are many other practices that have crept into our Purim experience that are not at all based on Chazal or Jewish tradition. For example, some consider Purim to be the Jewish Halloween, which is awful every year and especially wrong this year. Right? He means like not for nonsense. All elements of Purim, don't worry, I'm still dressing up. All elements of Purim not based on the Chazal or Jewish tradition, some of which are benign and some of which are destructive, even in normal years, should be de-emphasized and indeed abandoned. He gives a whole list of things that he thinks you should and shouldn't do. But the things that he lists are, and this is something that has, if I'm being honest, bothered me for a long time. There is extraordinary power to tefillah on the day of Purim. And yet we are running around like maniacs to deliver like the 437 Shalach Manas, which you don't need to do, and usually to our friends, right? Instead of coming to shul and davening like a mensch, or davening in your living room, but davening, right? Really davening. The power of tefillah on Purim is extraordinary. And like somehow it's like so busy, Chani always has to be, I don't get it, I'm running like maniacs. It's such a special day to daven. And we don't do it. It's a special day to learn Torah. At the very least, at the Purim Suda. We should share Divrei Torah at the Seder, because it's just like part of the Seder. The Seder is probably the greatest learning moment in most people's homes. Everyone goes around the tables, Divrei Torah. We should share Divrei Torah at the Purim Suda, wherever that Purim Suda is going to take place. Right? It's an extraordinary, powerful day for learning. And it's an extraordinary, powerful day, and this one I think we know better, for Achdus. For Achdus. For Mishloach Manos to the neighbor who you don't know, or to the person who you had a fight with, or to the person who you're not the same as, right? There's so many opportunities. Matanos Avionim, which we should spend more of our money on Matanos Avionim than we do on Mishloach Manos. For sure we should. Mishloach Manos becomes so expensive for no reason. And the Matanos Avionim is needed now more than ever. There's so many opportunities. And I wrote this in the thing I sent today with the Halachos of Purim. We're not looking. I think we should not make Purim less this year. We should make Purim more focused. We should make Purim more Purim, less whatever silliness, right? And to me, that's the goal. Because I don't find that like we get so caught up. We get caught up in mainly I think the Shalach Manos running around thing, but we don't take it seriously as a serious day. It's there's no Isra Malacha, so it's like kind of like a regular day. It shouldn't be a regular day. The reason I'm Meshugana, I guess, silly about dressing up on Purim, the reason I go crazy about it, is because it's important to show that it is not a regular day. It's such a powerful, important day. It's a day to dance and to sing and to learn and to daven and to give to other people. That is our focus on Purim. And right now, I would argue, we are primed for the best Purim of our lives. Because we're so much more alert and so much more aware and so much more focused on what we're supposed to be doing in the world. And that, in that sense, to me, this is the perfect message for what we need this year for Purim. Not a Purim that's less, we're not going to be insensitive. We should daven. We're going to daven on tomorrow. I sent out a thing, we're going to daven tomorrow. Tanis Esther, everyone should come to shul if you can come to shul at Mincha. We're going to daven powerfully. Am Yisrael's going to say Shema Yisrael at 11:30 a.m., all of Am Yisrael is going to say Shema Yisrael and say Tehillim. We should all be doing that. Right? We're not going to allow ourselves to forget about the hostages, and we're not going to forget about the soldiers who are fighting. We're not going to forget. We're going to call the president on Purim. We should do that. We're not going to forget about that. Instead, we should focus on using the power of this day in a way that maybe we haven't always done in the past, or maybe we used to and haven't done it in a while. And I think that's the power of what Purim can be. And if we can do that, then we can show Kadosh Baruch Hu that we're not Rishenim. We're not sleeping, we're not lackadaisical, we're not listening to his messages, we're hearing his messages loud and clear. And if we wake up and continue to be awake, we can hope, as Hashem, as Mordechai said, it's not a question of whether It's just a question of how. We're going to get through it. It's going to get better than it is now. It will. We're going to be fine in the end. We just want to be fine with as many hostages back and as many soldiers safe as we possibly can. And when we pound the gates of Shemayim on Purim, and we show Kadosh Baruch Hu that we are awake, then Be'ezer Hashem, B'lailah Hu Nadash Shasamech, Kadosh Baruch Hu should wake up as well and answer all of our prayers.